Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Potioner's Trove Sacks. Ethan, this is the card of the PT. A lot of talk during the PT drafts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my feeling is that the card is a little... Is this card overblown? Is this card overhyped?
I will not hear it. I love this card so much. And I have opened 0 copies in all of my collector box sealed pools.
How many bullets are we on so far?
We're on bullet number 3. Not because I want to win a box, mostly because I want to play Magic for stakes.
Okay.
And I'm just in a mood where I want to gamble.
And you're like, best of 1 sealed, bring it on.
Yep. I know I am losing value.
Are you feeling any kind of FOMO about MagicCon Vegas this weekend?
A lot of FOMO about MagicCon Vegas. A lot of regrets, a lot of sadness. Yeah.
Nice.
We're going to get into that on Lords Unlimited in depth.
Oh, we are.
We are.
Okay, wow.
In depth.
I'm eager. We are eating good in the limited PT coverage neighborhood, I would say. Like, getting to see Christopher Larson and Nathan Stoyer as the featured drafters was delightful.
Are we eating good? Christopher Larson needs to fan cards out so that you can read the name of the card. Like, I don't know how he knew what card was what ever. Because I knew it. Actually, that's not true. I knew what all the cards did and I knew what the cards were, but typing up our show notes was a nightmare because the way he fans out cards, you can't see the name of the cards.
Okay, that's fair. Thank you for doing that. I guess by limited coverage, I just mean, like, without even knowing the contents of these drafts, if you had told me the 2 feature drafters are Christopher Larson and Nathan Stoyer, I would be like, these are going to be some good drafts. Like, not necessarily am I going to agree with every single pick, but these are players who I have great amount of respect for, who I trust to have an opinion about the limited format. And so whether or not their picks line up with what I might do, I still feel like it's going to tell a cohesive story about what they view the format as, which is exciting. It's going to be good fodder for us to discuss.
Absolutely. So did you, last week we left it as you were going to try to do some MTGO comp drafts and best of 3. Did you make good on any of that?
I played in 1 and I lost in the first round. So that's the content I have for you right there. This message is sponsored by Raycon. If you're someone who likes getting outside, whether that's going for walks, running errands, or just getting some fresh air, it's nice to have something that fits effortlessly into your day.
Raycon's essential open earbuds have become my go-to when I'm out and about. For example, right after this recording, I'm going to be outside mowing my lawn, pop in that Raycon Everyday Earbud, and happily listen to the latest episode of That's How You Do It, Ethan's Survivor podcast, as my lawn mowing entertainment. I rely on these earbuds so much for everything, and the thing that I appreciate them about them the most is that they always work. I pop it out of the charger, there's never dead batteries, the battery life lasts forever. Pop it in, it immediately syncs to my phone, and I am on the go with no technology frustrations.
Raycon's earbuds sit outside your ear canal so you get a really clear sound, but you can actually hear what's going on around you too. They're light and the ear hook part rotates so they actually stay in.
Raycon has over 3 million customers, and the sound quality is just as good as the way more expensive brands. And if you don't like them, they have a 30-day guarantee.
The Essential Open Earbuds are the perfect addition to your everyday routine. Go to buyraycon.com/lolopen to get 15% off. Thanks, Raycon, for sponsoring. I will say, I do have a card that I want to talk about that is not, it's not Quick Study. I'm not a Quick Study stan yet. I still have not cast that card and hope to not.
That's insane to me.
But
is that how people feel when we talk about what's the red white looting card?
Pursue the past.
Pursue the past. Is that how people like? Is that how I feel when I hear you say, like, haven't cast Quick Study and am not interested in casting it? That must be people's reaction when we talk about Pursue the Past. Although I can report that I have cast some Pursue the Past now, and it feels fine.
I mean, it's, yes, I get Pursue the Past. I don't get how it's the number one common. I don't really understand how that is, what is the narrative with 17 Lands, but that's not what we do over here. So I'm not a quick study stand, but I am all about Cost of Brilliance now. That's the two and a black, draw two, lose two, put a counter on something.
Okay. In Silverquill specifically?
Silverquill specifically. And I heard, like, I had come to this conclusion, and then the day after I listened to Rough Drafts and Sam was talking about this, like, black-green aggro deck that he'd been messing around with, where Cost of Brilliance, which he's basically just talking about as a black-based aggro deck, and Cost of Brilliance being good there. And I have found, I have not drafted Black Green, but I've drafted a good bit more Silver Quill this week and just found Cost of Brilliance to be really important to that deck. I mean, it's in a similar sense of like it's Killian's Confidence at home. It's like the common version of that. But like black white just needs something that not only presses the board advantage, but keeps the gas flowing, because that's how those decks fall behind, is like when, because I had felt that from the other side of the battlefield when I was playing all my blue red decks week one, of like, okay, I'm about to stabilize. And then when Silver Quill plays Cost of Brilliance, you're like, dang it. They're now, they've grown their creature and they're getting more cards that are potentially going to kill me. And I think Cost of Brilliance is just really, really good in the Black Assertive decks. I'm a fan.
I believe it.
Pursue the Past, you finally cast, it sounds like.
I've cast some Pursue the Past. I've ventured into the Best of Three streets, and it does seem like Witherbloom is much better and much more playable in Best of Three, which is exciting. So you're basically either, like what we said last week, you're basically either playing soup versus aggro, aggro versus aggro, or soup versus soup. Like, that's about the matchups in the format. And there's interesting variations in there, so that keeps the gameplay fresh, and I like piloting the decks. I am happy with the format. I just don't think it is particularly deep as far as solving it per se.
Yeah, I think I feel that as well. All right, so it is Pro Tour weekend. We are going to be looking at both of the day one and day two featured drafts from coverage, and talking about their picks. Let's chat about the Patreon page before we get into all of that. Patreon.com/LordsOfLimited is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. Got a lot of great perks over at the Patreon page. If you want to check those out, we've got access to our Discord, which is just a great community of like-minded limited individuals. We now are doing streams to Discord. Ben hopped on the stream train in Discord last week, which is awesome. I'll be doing more Discord streams this week, maybe even after we finish recording today, because my Jen and Jonah are off to the playground. And so maybe I'll have a little bit of time to sneak in a draft or two before they get back. And I have to go, okay, now it's time to be in unpacking mode again. But the Discord is great. We're doing monthly gameplay review videos for our patrons as well. Those are going to be rolling out. We just did one last week, or last month rather. So just a lot of great stuff. And then as you move up the reward tier rankings, we have access to our podcast feed, where you get this episode a day early ad free and access to our bonus episode of Lords Unlimited, where apparently Ben is going to go into great detail about his MagicCon FOMO. I'm excited to hear about that. So if any or all that sounds of interest to you, please head on over to the Patreon page. And we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. So this week we're welcoming Whale Matron, Brian, Ablationist, Brendan, Caleb, and Arison. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, cannot say thank you enough.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. A reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone.
Life is a journey. Some days feel good and others feel overwhelming. Whatever's keeping you up at night, it's easy to feel like you have to figure it all out on your own. Having someone with you to listen, to understand, to support you can make all the difference.
Mental Health Awareness Month is an opportunity to check in with yourself and understand where you are right now. My heart is very full right now, but so is my plate, and managing my anxiety in such a packed to the brim time of my life has been tricky, and it's been very helpful to talk to my therapist each week.
With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp's the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs.
You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/lords.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lords. And now, back to the show.
I want to just give some flowers to some heartbreakers of the Pro Tour, because, you know, we're recording on Sunday now, so we don't know about the results of the tournament finals, but we do know about the top eight. And I don't know if you saw, but our boy Andy played a winning in round 16 against Terry Ramboa, aka El Gran Boa, who's a Magic streamer and just great limited player, and that's their arena tag as well. They were playing, and like the announcers were pretty sure that like both of these players, they were like sure that Terry's breakers were good enough, pretty sure that Andy's breakers were good enough for if they won, they'd be 12-4 and would get into top eight. Andy won the match, and I was like, yes, fist pump. And then I checked the standings today, and he got ninth.
Ugh, brutal.
So Andy Garcia Roma, we love you, bud. Shout out to you. You get him next time. And also Terry Ramboa also had like three win-and-ins on coverage and couldn't quite clinch it. So that was tough to see too. But really, really stacked. I feel like I always say this, but a really stacked top eight this time.
A lot of good Magic players out there.
A lot of good Magic players out there. And who seemingly, through variance, seem to be consistent. Consistently good. Who knew?
Who knew? Magic reward skill.
Speaking of, we've got former PT champ Christopher Larson sitting down for his day one draft. Shall we get to it?
Let's do.
All right. So pack one, pick one. You sit down and see the following cards as options. There is top common contender Elite Interceptor, the single white 1/2 that comes in prepared and has the prepared spell to pay one and a white and tap or untap something, draw a card. In the uncommons, there's Lewin Exchange Student. That's the Witherbloom 3/4 that has Pest Friend as the prepared spell. There's Snarl Song, the 5 and a G sorcery that makes two fractals with power and toughness or counters equal to the converge mana spent on them, and you gain that amount of life. And the rare is Blech. Are you saying Blech or Bleck?
I would say Bletch.
Bletch. I feel like it's the sound. You're like Blech.
Bleck.
Bleh. No. Bleh. Loafing no,
please,
pest.
Please stop doing that under the microphone.
Exactly. See, that's right. That I'm evoking a visceral response in you because of my line reading. Bleck Loafing Pest is one black green for 3/4. Whenever you gain life, you put a +1/+1 counter on each pest, bat, insect, snake, and spider you control. Pack one, pick one. Day one of the Pro Tour. What are you taking here, Ben?
I think I'm slamming Snarl Song. I'm not particularly thrilled with that as a pack one, pick one. I would like to shoot higher, ideally, but I mean, it is a key uncommon in one of the best archetypes, and I think I'm happy to start down that path.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see how much we diverge, or maybe how much Christopher diverges, how much Nathan diverges in draft two from the sort of mentality I outlined last week of like, picks 1-8, I just want to take the best cards. And I think Snarl Song is just the best card in this pack.
Yes, for sure.
So Christopher agrees and grabs that. Pack one, pick two. We've got a blue-green dual land. We know from the commentators, we know from Marshall and Paul that Christopher was all about the converged life in this format. So shouting out the dual land here makes sense. There's a grapple with death, the Witherbloom kill spell. Killing it, the artifact text on this does matter. Arc of Hunger, beware. Grapple with death is coming for you. And you gain a little life there too. Uncommon, we've got Matterbending Mage. That's the 2/2 that bounces something. And rare still in the pack is Aziza Mage Tower Captain. What was it? Killian? No, not Killian. Kirol from Lauren Eclipsed. Kirol, this is not. Aziza Mage Tower Captain is red white for a 2/2. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you may tap three untapped creatures you control. If you do copy that spell, you may choose new targets for the copy.
I disagree. I think this is exactly like Kirol. This is one of my favorite rares in the set to draft and build around, and I think it is very powerful.
Three creatures is so much more than two to tap, though.
Hop to it, baby. Hop to it. Wheel those hop to it.
Never. Hop to it. I hate that card. Okay. Well, this is interesting then. If we're talking about taking the most powerful card out of each pack, do you have eyes for Aziza Mage Tower Captain?
I mean, I certainly think it has the highest ceiling. It does not go in a deck with Snarl Song, though. So I would be looking at Grapple with Death here, I think. It's between that and Matterbending Mage, and I think Grapple is better than Matterbending Mage.
Interesting. Any thought to, if you take Grapple with Death and green is not where you're supposed to be, you take Matterbending Mage and you could play them both in Quandrix base, or you could play Matterbending Mage in a Prismari deck if that ends up being where you're supposed to be?
Maybe, except I haven't been that impressed with Matterbending Mage. Like, it's so embarrassing in the control mirrors. Like, you get like a half of a Snarl Song token or something.
That's not bad.
It's not good. I mean, it's good against aggro. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think I want to lock up a removal spell that pairs up in color with Snarlsong. And if you're pack one, pick one in Snarlsong, I don't think you are worried about getting cut. Like you're planning to play a Snarlsong deck. You can't get cut.
You get cut when you're playing all five colors.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. But also if like signals present themselves or whatever, then it doesn't matter if he wastes a few picks, you know, and then it's clear that Lorehold is open or Prismaria is open.
Sure. I just think it's close between Grapple and Matterbending with which one's the best card in the pack. And Grapple mm-hmm. goes so much better with Snarlsong and goes so much better in a Snarlsong deck. Like you don't want Matterbending Mage in a Converge deck.
Christopher agrees. Grapple with Death into the pile. Pack one, pick three. There is another Azeeza Mage Tower Captain, the red, white, rare. There's a Last Gasp, the one in a black, -3/-3 at instant speed. And an Infirmary Healer, the one on a green, 2/3 with the prepared spell Stream of Life, X and a green, gain X life.
Yeah, I think this is, again, between Last Gasp and Infirmary Healer, and I think I would take the removal spell.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like this is a pick that I might make differently, like on ladder than at the Pro Tour, like in pod versus in leagues, where like Infirmary Healer I really like, but there is a zero sum removal thing when you're playing in pod. Like every removal spell you take is a removal spell your opponents will not have. And that is really important. And plus, if you're, again, like it plays in the same space of Grapple with Death of, I just want to have cheap removal early and then Snarlsong in my top end.
Yeah.
So Last Gasp into the pile, two removal spells and a Snarlsong going into pack one, pick four. There is a Cheerful Osteomancer. That's the 3/4/2 with the prepared spell of Raise Dead. There's an Eager Glyph Mage, 3/3/3 with a 1/1 flyer. Visionary's Dance, the 5 blue-red, make 2/3/3 flyers, and the buyout of 2 mana discard to look at the top two, pick one, put in your hand, and then the other into the graveyard. And uncommon in the pack is Shared Roots, the 1 in a green lesson that goes and finds a basic land and puts it into the battlefield tapped.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty clear Shared Roots if you're planning to play a Snarlsong deck. I mean, you still could be straight Witherbloom, and certainly this is a weak pack and doesn't matter. And I think Shared Roots is definitely the highest upside card for the start that we've got so far.
I agree. Yeah. Like when you're doing the Converge deck, like that's when you play Studious First Year, and this is Studious. The reason you play Studious First Year is for Rampant Growth, and this is Rampant Growth. So I think totally reasonable pick here. Christopher agrees. 4/4 here. Pack one, pick five. There is a Tenured Concoctor and a Zealous Lorecaster. Two of the cards that I sort of like in the back of my head was like, I bet these go up in pod drafts. Like Lorecaster being the 6/4/4 in red that gets back an instant or sorcery, and Tenured Concoctor being the 5/4/5 Vigi that if it's targeted, you draw a card.
Yeah, I think this is a close pick. I don't have strong feelings. I think if left to my own devices, I think I probably would take Tenured Concoctor in this spot. I've been impressed with that card. It keeps us straight black-green. Neither one am I particularly excited by.
Yeah. I mean, of note, currently Christopher has all four of his picks are things that Zealous Lorecaster can get back with the, like, aforementioned, the card that he's ostensibly building around is Snarlsong. So it makes sense to take the Zealous Lorecaster here for me. We're not seeing color in this seat. And it seems like with the Zealous Lorecaster pick, Christopher's just like, I'm not going to have a problem casting my spells. I have faith in that.
Yeah, he took the Zealous Lorecaster, and I agree with the pick. I just think if I were trying to put myself in my own shoes in this draft, I probably would have taken Tenured Concoctor in that spot. And I think it probably would have been a mistake in hindsight.
Yeah. Pack one, pick six. There is a Noxious Newt, the 1/1/2 Death Touch Mana Dork. There is a Fractal Mascot. That's the 6/6/6 trample that taps a thing and stuns it. There is a Stargaze, X black black for the like look at twice X cards in your library. Put half of them into your hand, the other half into the graveyard, and you lose X life. What do you like here?
This, I think, is the first really interesting pick in the draft so far. And I think I would have done something different than Christopher. So Christopher takes Noxious Newt. And I get that in theory, like you want to make sure your curve's low, you want to ramp, etc. The thing I don't love about that is that it opens you up so much to Tome Blast. And like, if your pack one, pick one is Snarl Song, you're going to play Converge. And in the best Converge decks, your early game is interaction more than it is playing creatures to the board. I mean, you can do it with playing creatures to the board. It's just a significantly worse version of the deck, I think, when you play creatures to the board. And we haven't seen any blue yet. If I'm drafting this Converge deck, like, I'm trying to check boxes of finishers, cheap removal that's going to keep me alive early game, catch all removal, and card draw. Mm-hmm. And since we haven't been seeing blue, I'm a little worried about checking the card draw box. So I think I would take Stargaze here to lock up my first card advantage spell in what looks to be going to be base black green Converge.
It's a really swingy card. They're like, when you're at 19 and the board is stable and you can cast Stargaze for like X equals 4, just feel like you can't lose.
Correct.
But when you're at 9,
yeah, it's terrible.
You can't cast Stargaze. So it's really, really swingy card in that respect. I like the shout here. And I really like how you're thinking about Tome Blast as sort of this, I don't know, like format defining card in that way of like, what are you doing in the early turns and how does it stack up against Tome Blast?
Well, or just the control mirror. Like, the control mirror wants you to play Noxious Newt on 2. So that they can kill it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to be doing things that helps my control opponent.
Well, but and also your Lorehold opponents are going to be running Tome Blast. And so Noxious Newt isn't really doing a ton there either.
But you're supposed to play the card. Like, it's a good card.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't put that high of a premium on it this early, I don't think.
I wonder if, because I'm going to look ahead to see if this is true about the end. Yeah, it is, and ends up being true about Christopher's final deck. I wonder if the double pips, you know, if he has enough experience with this deck where like the double pips scared him a little bit on Stargaze, where like, because his deck ends up being like, he's green, and then he's got like a basic for every other color and then like a bunch of duels and ways to search those up. So maybe he was thinking about that. I don't know. But I like your shout about this is a spot for him to pick up card advantage. And he, spoiler alert, doesn't end up with that kind of burst card draw at the end of this.
Correct. Well, and I think it's also, if you're scared of the double pips, Rapturous Moment is also worth considering then too. I like either of those cards, I think, over Noxious Newt.
Yeah, I didn't shout out Rapturous Moment. That's the 4 blue red, draw 3, discard 2, add blue, blue, red, red, red. Yeah, I think I would prefer Stargaze with this route. Rapturous Moment, have you been impressed by that card? I've not found it to be
that. No, that's why
that
I said
good.
I would take Stargaze here.
Pack 1, pick 7. It's just time to abandon ship, right? Pick 7, hop to it. That's
wheel the two Azizas. I mean, whoever took the two Azizas is thrilled that they're going to get hopped to it. You laugh. It's a powerful combination. And when you already have the three creatures and you draw your hop to it, getting 6 rabbits is absurd. I'm telling you, this is an archetype in the format. I've done it multiple times.
I believe you. I'm just laughing because it's not what I've been doing. And you're so passionate about it. Okay, so hop to it there. That's the 2 and a white make 3/1/1s. Leech Collector, the 1 and a black 2/2. When you gain life, it becomes prepared, and its prepared spells, Bloodletting, single black, player loses 2 life. Wild Hypothesis, the common Fractal Maker, and then Surveil 2. And Ascendant Dust Speaker, the 4 and a white 3/4 flyer that exiles something every turn.
Yeah, this is a concerning pack for me. If I'm Christopher, because like, I'm a little worried that the power is drying up in the draft. This is a very weak pack. And right now I have a Snarl Song as my late game and not much else going on. So I think for me, it's between, you got to stay on course. For me, it's between Wild Hypothesis and Leech Collector. I think I would think about starting to be just Witherbloom or like Witherbloom, splash some stuff for my Snarl Song or whatever. And so I think I would take Leech Collector over Wild Hypothesis here. I don't really think Wild Hypothesis is a card.
I agree with that. This is the first pick that I don't love. Like, I think the Noxious Newt pick versus Stargaze, I hear what you're saying, but that was not on my radar. Wild Hypothesis, I just think, is not a Magic card in this set. I think it's something you're hoping to never play. So I like taking Leech Collector. I mean, you could sell me on, I don't know, if you're like really just going to be oops all splashing stuff, like take Ascendant Dust Speaker. I don't know. It's a flyer. Like, I don't know what the power level of these pod drafts are usually going to look like. But I imagine, based on the drafts we see, they're a little scrappier. But I don't like the wild hypothesis pick. It doesn't end up mattering. Pack one, pick eight. He gets a mindful biomancer. The one in a green 2/2 gains life and has two in a green +2/+2 activate only once each turn. Plus a cheerful osteomancer in the pack, the Gravedigger, and a Lorehold charm as well.
Maybe the Aziza life that could have been if you were a bold forager, but I don't think it was right to take that path, to be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just locking up a 2-drop here with Mindful Biomancer. I think you're thrilled to pick this up in this spot, pack 1, pick 8.
And as much as you might have been nervous, pack 1, pick 7, about the packs drying up, you got to be pretty thrilled, pack 1, pick 9, when you see Lewin Exchange Student Wheel.
That, to me, says, sign me up to be Witherbloom.
Yes. But you're still going to be Witherbloom and probably, like, you've got the shared roots, you've got Snarlsong, you're going to be Witherbloom base, but splishy splash.
Yeah, but base Witherbloom splashing, for sure.
Yeah.
But you don't have to splash. Like, you could be, like, if Witherbloom's wide open, Lewin, sure. I guess somebody took black, so Witherbloom's not going to be wide open.
Great job. Perfect. That's the issue there, right? With both of those cards being side by side in pack one, I wonder if you could now. There's no way you could have taken Blech, and then someone else would have taken Lewin in the spot where they took Blech instead, right?
Probably, yeah. But you got to take Snarlsong.
For sure. No, I'm not trying to do that. But yeah, Lewin Wheeling is great signal. Gets a blue-green duel as well, pick 10, which is nice.
Pack 2, pick 1, you open up some great cards as options. There's a Grapple with Death. There's a Proctor's Gaze, which is the blue-green, bounce a thing, search a basic. But it gets even better. Your rare is Applied Geometry. 2 blue-green for a sorcery. Create a token that's a copy of target non-aura permanent you control, except as a 0/0 fractal in addition to its other types. And put 6+1/+1 counters on it. At worst, I didn't know this could target a land. At worst, this is a 4-mana 6/6. At best, it's got insane upside. This has been an oppressive card to play against.
I'll tell you what is at its best, and it's something Christopher has access to. It's copying the Zealous Lorecaster, and then you get back Applied Geometry.
And just loop it over and over every turn?
It's about as good as it gets right there. So yeah, he gets Applied Geometry, which is awesome. Pack 2, pick 2, Environmental Scientist, Windmill Slam, the
Windmill
Slam. 2/2 that gets a basic. Weak pack, pack 2, pick 3, where he gets Tam Observant Sequencer, which this does give him some card advantage very slowly.
Very slowly and very, glass cannony, very fragile?
Very fragile. Yeah, very fragile. That's the 4/3... Simic or Quandrix card, I'm sorry, that gets prepared when you have landfall, and then the prepared spell is green blue to draw a card, gain a life.
And then pack 2, pick 4 picks up a Stress Dream with nothing else in the pack. That's incredible. That's the 5-mana deal 5, and then look at the 2, take 1. And then stuff cools down quite a bit. Picks up a Noxious Newt, pick 5, an Emil Vastlands Roamer, pick 6.
That's on dual plan.
What's on plan?
Emil Vastlands Roamer. Like, it's not great, but it's sure. On plan. Like, it's going to be good in his deck.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Picks up a white-black duel, and then pack 2, pick 8. Ding, 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 ding. Gets a Potioner's Trove. The 3-mana artifact taps for a mana of any color, and then if you've cast an instant or sorcery spell, you can tap it to gain 2 life. What a card.
Yeah. Huge pickup there. Had to pass a blue-green duel to take it, and then wield a blue-green duel, pick 9. Which is awesome. So pack 2 just going great. And then I'm curious about your thoughts here on pack 3, pick 1, where he's got Ambitious Augmenter as the rare, the single green 1/1 with increment. And then whenever this dies, if it had counters on it, you make a fractal with the number of counters on it. That was on Augmenter on that fractal.
You nailed it.
I think I did great, and I'm not going to take it again. So that card versus stock up, 2 in a blue, look at the top 5, put 2 in your hand. Do you think he needs burst card draw a lot? Like, or do you think that the strong snowbally 1-drop is worth it here?
I think the strong snowbally 1-drop is worth it here. I've played with Ambitious Augmenter a lot, and I've never had it on turn 1, and it's still kind of been good enough.
What 1/1s with increment are just good. Though I can't wrap the blue one. Is the blue one bad? The one that like can dump its counters elsewhere?
Yeah, it costs 2 mana.
So does Cuboid Colony. Cuboid Colony's good.
That's got flying and trample.
Yes. Okay. Here's what I don't need you to do is to describe the cards when I'm asking you about, like, what do you think about this? You're like, well, that one has flying. Oh, okay. That's interesting. I hadn't considered that. Yeah. I just feel like the 1/1s with increment, you're just going to be casting spells. And so they're just going to grow no matter if they're on turn 1 or on turn 7. So you would take Augmenter here and not stock up. All right.
I think so. Because I think the ceiling on Augmenter is nuts, and I've been fine with the cards still not seeing its ceiling. I am worried about our card draw situation, though, but I'm also thinking we're pretty base black-green. I just think the Augmenter curve outs are too good.
He's base green. He's got Lewin, A Grapple with Death, and Last Gasp. I guess for Last Gasp to be at its best, you want black early.
Yeah, I you can't go wrong with either of those two cards. I don't have a strong opinion.
All right. Sundering Archaic, pack one, pick two. So he gets another Converge payoff there.
Pack three, pick two.
Pack three, pick two. Thank you. Another Grapple with Death in the pack. Archaic's Agony is a card he picks up. I'm curious about your thoughts here on this one. This is the four and a red Converge spell that deals damage to something equal to Converge. And if there's excess damage, you exile cards from the top of your library and you can play those until the end of your next turn.
I don't like that card. It was Archaic's Agony versus Mind Roots in that pick. Mm-hmm. And I think I would have been solidly on Mind Roots in that spot.
Yeah, that was a surprising pick to me. Though I will say, like, Archaic's Agony, I haven't cast it yet. It's been cast against me and been annoying. If you do end up in a world where you get to Converge for the full five or even just four, and there's an X2 that is worth picking off, like, then this draws you two cards because you don't have to pick one of them. You just get to play all of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have found that to not be very fun to play against. But I agree with you. I would have been on Mind Roots here. But regardless, Christopher ends up with a pretty nice looking Converge deck. Almost rare lists except for the Augmenter.
I would say it's short on card advantage and very vulnerable to cheap removal from opposing control mirrors with triple Noxious Newt.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little more mid-rangey than I would generally like my Converge decks to be.
But I think, like, benefits from being in pod, where, like, you're just much less likely to, if he's doing this, he's much less likely to have another soup drafter at the table.
Sure.
Right? He's picked up a lot of good fixing. He's picked up Snarl Song. He's picked up Sundering Archaic. Like, how many more Archaic's Agony? How many more Converge payoffs can there be? He's got a meal as well. Like, there's... Yeah,
I would expect there to be at least two, like, soupy Converge decks per table.
Okay. That's interesting. I just, like, how does the other person have fixing? Christopher has, like, Shared Roots, Environmental Scientist. He's got, like, four dual lands.
But they could be base. They could just be base blue red splash a little or something, and have Mathemagics or the card that brings back all the instants and sorceries. It's very possible that there is a bigger fish out there than Christopher Larson at this table.
Certainly possible. There's a bigger control deck, but I agree this is mid range, but it works out pretty well for him in that, what does he face? Lorehold twice and then Silverquill, so he's facing the aggro decks.
Facing the aggro decks.
Which is what you want when you're playing a mid-range deck.
Yeah, and he did take advantage of it. Ended up 3-0-ing, beating Streamer DeFour in the finals, who was on Silverquill.
Yeah. All right, shall we skip on over to day two, where we've got the lone player standing at 8-0. Don't call it a comeback. Nathan Stoyer back on the PT with a vengeance.
It's good to be good.
Good to be good. So sitting at 8-0, he sits down. What does he see? Pack one, pick one.
He sees a doozy of a pack. I saw this pack one, pick one, and I was like, oh, I have no idea what I would take. This is a very hard choice. So start with the commons. There's Ascend in the Pest, white, black, target opponent discards a card, you make a pest token. There's a Grapple with Death as well, the black, green removal spell that hits an artifact or a creature. Then we move on to the plethora of uncommons. There's a Spell Pierce, counter a non-creature spell unless its controller pays two. There's an Essence Knit Scholar, which is the Witherbloom 3-1 that brings a pest along with it. And at the beginning of your end step, if a creature died this turn, you get to draw a card. There's Artistic Process, the modal spell, 3 red-red sorcery deals 6 damage to a creature, deals 2 damage to all creatures, or makes a 3/3 flyer. There's a Vibrant Outburst, the blue-red instant that deals 3 and taps something down. And then in the rare slot, there's Joined Researcher, 1 and a white for the 2/2 first strike, and it becomes prepared at the beginning of your end step if an opponent has more cards in hand than you.
And its prepared spell is Secret Rendezvous, 1 white, white. Both players draw 3 cards. The person who casts Secret Rendezvous is slightly sad.
Nah, I don't love your tone. I still am a believer in this card.
A 2/2 first strike is good. Joined Researcher is not in contention for me. For me, it's between Vibrant Outburst and Essence Knit Scholar, and I would rather be Prismari than Witherbloom. So I think I would land on Outburst here, but I think they're close.
That was my inclination looking at the pack as well. Is there any thought to they're close in power level? I'm going to zig when I expect everybody else to be zagging.
Yeah, I think that's totally fine. Like, okay, I don't want to take Vibrant Outburst because I'm also passing Artistic Process, or I don't want to take Essence Knit Scholar because then I'm also passing Grapple with Death and Send in the Pest. But the reverse is I could take Essence Knit Scholar and maybe Send in the Pest wheels, or maybe Grapple with Death wheels, though I can't imagine that's going
to
happen.
And there's no thought to taking Joined Researcher and shipping everybody else the mess and letting them figure it out?
No, I just don't think Joined Researcher is on power with Outburst and Scholar.
Yeah, I think I agree with that take.
Okay, so Nathan ends up with Essence Knit Scholar, though, so we will move forward with that as the pick.
Yes. Nathan on Essence Knit Scholar takes us on to Pack 1, Pick 2, where you see the following cards as options. There's Pest Mascot in the common slot, the first of many that we will see, the 1 black, green, 2/3 trample.
That's right, and whenever like 5 in this draft or something.
Ton, yeah. Whenever you gain life, it gets a +1/+1 counter. And there's also a Mindful Biomancer chill in here, the 1 in a green 2/2. When ETBs, you gain a life, and then you can pump it. That takes us on to the uncommons, where there's an Eternal Student, the Fallen from Grace, 3 in a black, 4/2, and you can exile from your graveyard for 1 in a black to make 2/1/1 spirit tokens. If I wanted to teach somebody about this format, I would show them that card and say, this card is bad in the format. That's the clearest way to get across that this format is weird.
I mean, it's the clearest way to get across the format is weird. It doesn't teach the person anything about the format.
Sure, like, it does. You show Absolutely.
Them this good, you show them a good card and you say, this isn't actually that good in this format. That doesn't
that's,
teach them.
That's so much information.
That would just confuse me.
Okay, but time out. You're telling me that the next format, what's the next format? Is it Marvel superheroes or whatever?
Marvel, yeah.
Okay, so Marvel. Somebody shows you Iron Man, 3 and a black, 4/2, exile from your graveyard for 1 and a black, make 2/1/1, his suit falls apart into pieces and animates, and you get 2/1/1 flying tokens that are firing blast cannons on their own.
Watsy, are you hiring out there? We've got a future card designer here.
That would tell you so much about the format. That would tell you that it either is hyper-aggressive or hyper-controlling.
You're right. I agree with you. Okay, so Eternal Student, Fall from Grace, not in consideration here.
Not in consideration. There's a Colonian Tackle, the 2 and a green sorcery, mm-hmm. I think, that gives something +0/+10, and then your creatures fight your opponent's creatures. Let me double check that is right.
That is right. That's right.
That's right? Wow, I'm impressed mm-hmm. with myself. And then there's also a Disdainful Stroke chill in here, 1 in a blue, counter target spell, mana value 4 or greater. And then in the rare slot, we see it again, Ambitious Augmenter is back.
Awesome follow-up for taking Essence Knit Scholar. And I think of note, if I had taken Vibrant Outburst, I would still take Ambitious Augmenter here. That feels like the clear best card in this pack.
Yes, definitely the best card in the pack. Always taking Augmenter, and Stoyer agrees. Takes us on to pack 1, pick 3, where you see the following cards as options. There's Pest Mascot number 2. There is an Essence Scatter, 1 in a blue counter target creature spell. And in the uncommon slot, there's a Leech Collector, the 1 in a black 2/2 that can become prepared whenever you gain life. And when you do, you can bloodlet for a single black to have each opponent lose 2 life.
Pretty big drop off from the power we've seen in the first 2 packs. I would land on Leech Collector here. You know, Nathan's already got an Essence Knit Scholar that makes a pest, so can do some bloodletting off that pest life gain.
Yeah, I like the Leech Collector pickup, and Stoyer agrees. Moving on to pack 1, pick 4, you see a Force of Will. Nathan Stoyer did not do his best Tarmogoyf impression. What was was it Pascal?
Oh,
picked it over.
That's right.
Picked it over
that's
Shock
right.
or whatever.
Yeah, Goyf.
Tarmogoyf
8.
Heard around the world.
But is Force of Will worth anything? It's like this.
I mean, it's got to be worth like $50 or something, right?
You read some cards. I'm going to go check what Goldfish has to say about that.
So commons in the pack, there's a Fraskle Mascot. There's a Fractal Mascot, the 4 green blue 6/6 trample that stuns something. There's an Ajani's Response, the 5 mana destroy target creature, and then you could pay it for 1 and a white if it targets a tapped creature. Moving on to the uncommons, there's a Sanar Unfinished Genius. That's the blue-red 04 that comes with Wild Idea, the 3 blue-red. Search up an instant or sorcery out of your deck. And whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you can tap it to make a treasure. There's also a Snooping Page chilling here, the 1 white-black uncommon 2/3 with Repartee. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature, this creature can't be blocked this turn. And whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card, lose a life. And then rares in the pack, there was the aforementioned Force of Will, as well as Format All-Star Wisdom of Ages, the 4 blue-blue-blue, return all instants and sorcery cards from your graveyard to your hand. You have no maximum hand size for the rest of the game.
The pick is clearly Force of Will because it's $72.
I told you.
So
cash money.
Take the money and run. I would be having some serious Vibrant Outburst regrets here when I see Wisdom of Ages and Sanar pack 1, pick 4.
Do you take Wisdom of Ages here? I think is the question if you're Stoyer.
That's a real question. I mean, you're taking something. Like your options are, I guess first let's say Sanar versus Wisdom of Ages. You take Wisdom of Ages, but you're sad.
Yes.
But like regardless of what you take here, you're taking stuff that potentially leads you down throwing away 2 of your first 3 picks, if not all 3 of your first 3 picks.
But which, that's something I think you're supposed to do in the format.
I totally agree. So I feel like it doesn't matter. Like, I think there's a, well, Snooping Page touches black and I've got Leech Collector. So, which is like, those are checks and balances you weigh in other draft formats. But I don't think you're supposed to do that here. So with all of that throat clearing, I would take Wisdom of Ages out of this pack.
I would take Wisdom of Ages also. And can you imagine if you pack 1, pick 1 Vibrant Outburst? You take Outburst into Augmenter into Essence Scatter into Wisdom of Ages, and you feel like an absolute champion at that point.
You do, but spoiler alert, you would not by the end of pack 1 feel like a champion.
Probably not.
You would not. But it's interesting to sort of like those two paths, because like those two paths like weave in and out of each other, where you're like, okay, and then you go away and you take these cards and you come back and you take Wisdom of Ages and then you go away and you come back. But Nathan does not go away. He stays a little bit on course and he takes Snooping Page over the powerful blue cards.
Correct. So Stoyer has Essence Knit Scholar, Ambitious Augmenter, Leech Collector, and Snooping Page. Moving on to pack 1, pick 5, see the following cards as options. There's another Mindful Biomancer, the 2/2 that gains a life. There's another Pest Mascot. And then in the uncommons, there's an End the Hunt, the 1 and a black. Your opponent exiles the creature with the greatest mana value they control.
Yeah. I mean, it's not my favorite removal spell, but it is a removal spell. And I would definitely take it here. And you got to start thinking, like, I don't know, is 3 pest mascots in the first 5 picks good for you? Because, like, some of them's got a wheel, right? Or is it like, is someone else going to get into Witherbloom for pest mascots and I'm going to fight with them?
That would be my concern. I mean, I would be stressed about the fact that there were 3 you, pest mascots.
Like, you stressed?
You're gonna find out real quick come pack 1, pick 10, whether you're going to be really happy or really sad.
Well, let's not delay. Pack 1, pick 6, he's really happy.
Yeah, there's a Mind Roots and nothing. There's a Wild Hypothesis, a Landscape Painter, and a Sneering Shade Rider as the commons, but you're thrilled to see Mind Roots and you slam it.
Mm-hmm. And pack 1, pick 7, he's thrilled.
Yeah, so cards pack 1, pick 7, there's Elemental Mascot, there's Rapturous Moment, which is the blue-red draw 3, discard 2. There's Mythic Rare Withering Curse, 1 black-black sorcery, all creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn, and if you gained life this turn, destroy all creatures instead. So you've got that Mythic Rare versus Knockout maneuver, which is the 2 and a green sorcery, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control, and it deals damage equal to its power to target creature and opponent controls. So 2 very good removal spells there.
Yeah, I think Withering Curse just gets a lot worse. I mean, just the Wraths in general get worse with open deck lists. I think Withering Curse also being a Wrath that requires setup is going to get worse in open deck lists. I like taking knockout maneuver here.
Yeah, I would take knockout maneuver as well. And Nathan agrees. Pick 8, you pick up Ascend in the Pests over Follow the Lumerites. Pick 9, you have a choice between Arnon Deathbloom Botanist, which is the 2 and a black 2/2 death touch. Whenever a creature you control power or toughness 1 or less dies, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. Versus Follow the Lumerites, which is the 1 and a green, look at 4, and you can choose a creature or a land. And then if you gained life, you get to choose 2.
I'm so Arnon pilled, but like, I just look, I'm like, Essence Knit Scholar's great with Arnon. Leech Collector's great with Arnon. I'm here for Arnon. Personally,
I'm also here for Arnon. I was surprised to see Nathan not take Arnon. So Nathan took Follow the Lumerites. I would have taken Arnon in that spot. So you're solidly Witherbloom and you're feeling, I think, pretty good, except once we hit pack 1, pick 10, the sweat is over and there none of the pest mascots wheel. 0-3. That's big red flags. But at this point, you have no wiggle room. Like, there is nothing left to do. You are Witherbloom, come what may.
Yeah, you're black-green, you're fighting. But, like, you could take some solace in that you have better cards than whoever has 3 pest mascots.
Correct, and Witherbloom's open from the right. Yeah.
Yes.
So you're expecting a less good pack 2 and I think a very good pack 3 if you're Stoyer.
But pack 2, pick 1, he gets an on-college rare in...
Black Loafing Pest. It's good to be the goat. What's it like to draft Witherbloom and then open Black?
Well, and there is another... Pest mascot number 4 in this pack as well.
Yeah, pest mascot number 4. So you slam the black loafing pest over a bunch of nothing.
Yep.
And then pack 2, pick 2, you pick up a Bogwater Lumerette over Leech Collector and Thornfist Striker, mostly because you presumably need to turn on life gain synergies. Any thought to the Thornfist Striker in this spot?
I don't hate it. I mean, there's a world where like 2 drops are premium. I don't know. Striker's really good. What does he have that gains life so far? He has a Mindful Biomancer. He has a Pest Token from Send in the Pest. He has a Pest Token from Essence Smith Scholar. And that's about it. Is there a version where you're like, let me zag away from the life gain thing? Because I know it's going to be like, you don't have to build Witherbloom with the A+B life gain payoffs, do you?
You don't have to, but you just picked up Bleck, which really wants you to gain life. Which really wants you to gain life. I think you have to take Bogwater Lumer here because you've got to presume it's not wheeling, because whoever has those 3 pest mascots really wants Bogwater Lumer. And presumably so do you after taking Plesh.
Yeah. Ooh, pack 2, pick 3. I actually don't love this pick.
What would you take instead? You take, okay. So we should say what it is rather than leaving our listeners in the dark.
Yeah. No. Let's just say this is good podcasting. I don't agree with pack 2, pick 3. Moving on. Pack 2, pick 3. He's got Shopkeeper's Bane, the 2 and a green 4/2 trample. When it attacks, gain 2 life. Topiary Lecturer. That's the 2 and a green 1/2 mana dork with increment. And Eternal Student, the aforementioned, let me show you this card to tell you about the format by telling you that it's bad. And Nathan takes Eternal Student. I think I would like to take Shopkeeper's Bane here. That's how much I think Eternal Student is not that good in this format.
I actually agree with that pick. I think Shopkeeper's Bane also great combination with Black. It itself is a pest.
Yeah, I think Shopkeeper's Bane is where it's at here. It's kind of, you know, he picked up a Follow the Lumerites, so like he wants more life gain stuff anyway.
Yeah, I like that shout. There is, I don't know, Eternal Student's just such a better Magic card.
It's every fiber of my body. It's like, you take Eternal Student here, it's got to be good. But like, I just know that it doesn't. It's not that it's bad, but it doesn't matter. And like, Shopkeeper's Bane has a chance to matter, I think.
Okay, pack 2, pick 4. There's many options, none of which are good. There's Illumerate's Favor. There's Effervescence, there's Pick Your Poison for the board, and Melancholic Poet.
I think I would take Melancholic Poet. That's the one on a black 2/2 with Repartee Drain. Lumerit's Favor has a high upside, right? That's the double +2/+4 trick.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's not Follow Lumerit's. You're right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Lumerit's Favor is the +2/+4 and then gets doubled if you've gained life that turn. It seems powerful to me, but I also have basically not really seen it played that much, so I don't know how good it is.
But there's some amount of value there to your opponents are going to have to play around it. Do you know what I mean? They're going to have to think about it all the time, like at high level play like this. That's a very powerful trick. I think I like Lumeret's Favor here.
What about this pack two, pick five? Noxious Newt versus Forum Necroscribe. That's the 6-mana 5/4 ward, discard a card, and repartee trigger of just get back a creature from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So Nathan takes Noxious Newt. It would be very hard for me to not take Forum Necroscribe at the top end of a Witherbloom deck.
I agree, especially because his curve's not bad and he doesn't need to ramp. Like, you've got a Biomancer, you've got a Bogwater Lumeret, you've got an Ambitious Augmenter.
Yeah, I think I would take Forum Necroscribe here. The Noxious Newt does combo with the Knockout Maneuver that you've got already. So there's that aspect of it. And it also makes future Barrog Barrages better. Mm-hmm. But I think I would take Forum Necroscribe.
Yeah.
But neither one of us are Nathan Stoyer.
That is for darn sure. That's for sure. So things seem to be humming along smoothly for the man, the myth, the legend, Nathan Stoyer here. Pack three, pick one.
It's a complete disaster. It is one of the worst packs. As good as he felt opening Bletch Loafing Pest, you feel that bad opening this pack. The best card in the pack is Cuboid Colony. And then there's actually literally no other Magic cards, I don't think, other than Cuboid Colony in the pack. And I guess you're taking solace in the, like, it's not like it's a stacked pack for Prismari or something. That's like the one upside, but this is rough.
Yeah, there's some solace too. It's a blank for me, so it's going to be a blank for everybody. But like, it's markedly worse that blank is your pack one, pick one, pick or one. Your pack three, pick one, rather. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then turns it around, gets a Lewin Exchange Student over Last Gasp. Then a Grapple with Death, then a Cost of Brilliance, which I think also going to be good in this Witherbloom deck. Finally, he takes a Pest Mascot, pack three, pick six. Like, despite being contested, there's clearly another Witherbloom drafter at the table. I like his deck.
Yeah, I think the bummer about the draft for me, for Nathan, is like you weather the storm in pack two, and I think you're hoping for a really good pack three, and your pack three is highly, highly, highly mediocre.
Here's how I know that Shopkeeper's Bane over Eternal Student is right, because he wheels Shopkeeper's Bane pack two, and guess what's in his deck?
Shopkeeper's Bane, baby.
And guess what's not in his deck?
Eternal Student.
And then there's this mysterious Decorum Dissertation in his deck.
That has to be a mistake on the image, right? Like, there, we didn't see it in the draft. And Marshall and Paul were also extremely confused on also, coverage.
This is one of the paradigm spells. This is the black paradigm. It's the three black. Target player draws two cards and loses two life. And then you get to cast it every turn for the rest of the game. This card's also not that good, right?
Well, so I have a question for you about this. Yeah. I want to also dive in on the red one. Is the red one good?
The red one is insanely good.
Yeah, but I didn't know that you had the option to not cast them. So I've passed the red one multiple times thinking like, well, I can't put this in my late game control deck, or I'm just going to deck myself.
No. You don't have to cast it.
Yeah. So once you just like get ahead, and then stop casting it when you have seven or eight.
There's six cards in your library. You don't cast the red paradigm anymore.
Yeah. I didn't realize you, because I was planning on milling my opponent out with their red paradigm in this one of my collector booster seals. And they got down to six cards, and then they didn't cast it. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, Decorum Dissertation, the only time I've seen it, I played against it, and my opponent thought they could, like, kill me with it. But I was a black deck, and so I just kept,
gaining a bunch of life.
I was like, thanks for the extra two cards a turn. And I'm just going to gain, like, I kept going, like, down to four, down to two, back up to three, down to one, back up to four. Like, and they just never cut their losses to start being like, look, it's time for me to draw cards now.
Sunk cost fallacy, baby.
Yeah. Nathan's got a lean, mean, low curve, black, green deck, a few things in the four drop slot, but that's about it. And went 2-1, win, loss, win. to end this draft 2-1.
And did they show him on coverage? Like, this was in round two. Like, we saw his round one. Did they ever show his rounds two or three?
I don't think so. But I also did not go back and see what the, like, what the secondary matches were or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a weird decision. And Nathan had a really tough, after going 8-0, had a really tough day two, but then did finally get the win and in. And I think he was like the sixth seed of top eight.
Yeah, both of our featured drafters making it into the top eight feels good.
Like, I don't think that's ever happened. Since we've been reviewing PT drafts, I don't think the day one and day two featured drafters have both made top eight.
I mean, it's obviously very difficult to do. It's a large field and it's extremely good players.
Obviously, often the day two drafter makes top eight because they're usually the 8-0 player, and their breakers are going to be extremely good. But even Nathan almost missed out. So I'm very excited to see both of the. I will have, as I'm unpacking boxes today, I will definitely have the top eight on in the background. I'm excited. I know it's a, we don't say that we watch standard around here, but I'll be watching some standard.
Have you seen, probably not since you've been knee deep in moving or neck deep in moving, however deep you are in the move.
I'd say now it was neck. Now I'd say we're about, I don't know.
Waist deep.
Yeah, waist deep.
Belt buckle deep.
Yeah.
They showed the 6-0 drafters deck list.
Mm-hmm.
Nary a white card to be found in the 6-0 drafters. Is that just happenstance? Does that mean anything to you?
That doesn't mean anything. Because also, weren't there only three 6-0 drafters?
Correct.
So you're saying among six drafts, someone didn't draft white? I just assume that means people are drafting their seats correctly. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I would not index on that. I guess I'd be curious to see the overall trophies. Like, is something overrepresented or underrepresented? We also got shared one of the top eight players. Their day two draft was basically Rakdos. Like, they have a few white cards in there, so they're kind of like a little Mardu, but base red black. And I was like, dang, that deck is, that's, yeah, I mean, I'm pointing at me, but like, I'm mostly just like, I want to see what the decks at that table looked like, because that deck is scrappy. And I imagine that means the rest of the decks from that table are pretty scrappy.
Yeah.
So you got some high stakes magic on your plate.
Some high stakes magic. Bullet number three actually has a playable deck. So it seems like from my losses so far that you want to be Jeskai control or Lorehold control or Prismari control or something like that. I think that's the sweet spot to be in the format. Mm-hmm. And I finally do have that deck. I have base red white, so base Lorehold with splashing an Exhibition Tidecaller, a Harmonized Trio, and Jadzi, Steward of Fate as three blue rares. Have the fixing for it, so actually have a good mana base. Also splashing a Snarl Song. Have double Zealous Lorecaster. Like have removal. Have top end. Like I have a functional deck. For the first time, that doesn't seem to have glaring holes.
That's the juice with Snarl Song, is like you look at it and you're like, oh, okay, converge card and it's green. I got to be base green, heavy green. Like you can splash that thing because it's single pipped.
It could have easily been 4GG and been much, yes, much worse or much more contained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
If they had done that, I think the format would feel more distinct. Then Snarl Song decks would be separate from Prismari Soup. Or Jeskai Soup.
Yes, Soup is a little indistinguishable because you're like, well, what am I putting in the pot today? Am I putting some plains and some mountains? Am I putting some forests and some swamps? What's going in the soup today? And it doesn't, but the result is the same. You're having soup.
All right. Left it all out on the field.
Certainly excited to see if there are some shifts, you know, the two featured drafters, or at least one of them being a soup deck. Does that mean that, you know, is Potioner's Trove gonna start to finally go skyrocketing up people's pick orders, and soup is gonna be more contested in the coming weeks? Or do you think we have metagame shifts down the road?
I don't think it's metagame shifty. I still kind of feel how I felt last week, which is you're either drafting a late game deck or you're drafting an aggro deck. And I certainly think that's not true in best of three, but in best of one, I don't think there's room for it to shift because the pods are so weak.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're either going to get a very good aggro deck or you're either going to get a very good late game deck. I don't think there's shifts there. You just have to keep an eye out for which one.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll have more, you know, good Cost of Brilliance was my card this week, but there's more to come for sure. Like there are more cards that I think I'm going to maybe change my tune on or have some more thoughts on, but we'll have to just keep drafting to find out which those are. Maybe next week I'll be talking about Hop to It. Who knows?
Yeah, get on my level. All right. And on that note, we will leave it. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all our content at lordsoflimited.com. There's links to our Twitch streams, our YouTube channel, our episode backlog, our Patreon page, our merch, all of that available at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.